matters of knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teaching. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, and trampling down all carnal desires to me and upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee we send up, Lord, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and then of holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. A reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Luke. Let us attend. At that time, as Jesus was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
The joy of the Jordan be with you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, says St. Paul in our epistle this morning. This blind man in their gospel this morning is an icon of the sinner that Christ came to save. The church teaches us to see ourselves with St. Paul as the first of all sinners. I am therefore the blind man who needs to be saved. The prayer of the blind man, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is the prayer of the church. We call it the prayer of the heart, the Jesus prayer. The faith of the church is given in the work of this prayer, to descend with the prayer, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner, into our heart, to come out of intellectual belief, the kind of belief the demons have, and into the heart. There, in the heart, to work out our salvation, as St. Paul says, in fear and trembling. I'm wondering if these words, fear and trembling, are a veiled reference to Christ's holy Pascha, because it was in fear and trembling that the holy myrrh-bearers fled from the tomb. The heart is our true self, and the heart is where we are blind, and it is in the tomb of the heart that Christ accomplishes our salvation. In the Bible, blindness is an image of idolatry or disobedience and death. Those who trust in idols are like them, says the psalmist. They have eyes that do not see. They have ears that do not hear, a mouth that does not speak, hands and feet that do not move. This is to say that they are a spiritual corpse. So if I am blind in my heart, it's because I'm spiritually dead. And if I'm spiritually dead, it's because of my idolatry. And what are these idols that I serve? They are the passions: lust, greed, anger, vanity, pride. How do I serve them? In my love for money, in the impure images I indulge my eyes in and entertain in my mind, in the anger that I give into, in my self-love, just to name a few of the ways that I serve these idols. What is the evidence of my spiritual death? It's given in my self-righteousness, in my spiritual pride, for example. It's given in my despair. It's given in the unease that hangs over my soul like a gray fog. But finally, the evidence of my spiritual death is given in the law of sin that is in my fleshly members. And what is this law of sin? Elsewhere, St. Paul calls it the body of death, the body of sin. It's the death. The law of sin is the death that awaits me. It's the corruption that I live in now, in the form of endless varieties of maladies and afflictions of soul and body in one way, that afflict me in one way or another. All of these are symptoms of our spiritual death, brothers and sisters. Listen to the psalmist. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. Listen to wisdom. God did not create death. He created all things for being, the generations of the world for salvation. Soteria is the word that is used. The word is translated salvation. See how salvation, according to wisdom, is to be created for being, for life, not for passing away or death. So salvation is life. Life that is beautiful, life that is good, whole, healthy, brimming with joy and gladness, whole and vibrant, with no poison of destruction in it, as it says in wisdom. To be saved, then, is to be created anew in the inner man. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It means that he descended into the root of our being, our heart, where we were dead in our sins and trespasses, to give salvation, to give life, even life more abundantly. To receive this salvation of Christ, we cannot stay in the city of our head. We must come out of the city to sit with the blind man at the path where Jesus is walking. Or to use another evangelical image, we must enter the closet of our heart. And there, from out of the depths, we take up the prayer of the blind man and we cry out, Lord, I cry unto thee, hear me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And there I must stay, in the lowliness, the meekness of a broken and contrite heart, the ears of my soul trained to listen for the word of God coming that way. Now it says that as the blind man cried out, they tried to silence him. Dear faithful, does not the world try to silence us? It assails us with all kinds of problems, troubles, of all kinds, trying to draw us away from the path so that we stop calling upon the name of the Lord and we start resorting to our own wisdom, our own strength, our own strategies. Trying to draw us out of our inner closet. The world is trying to draw us back into the city, back into the ways of the old man, the ways of worry, fear, anger. For the law of sin, says St. Paul, is in our earthly members. Do you see, the law of sin has become embodied in us. It's not an abstraction. It's not some spiritual, you know, something. It's concrete. It has become embodied in us. And it is embodied in us as the law of death that corrupts us even in our heart, at the root of our will, so that we are weak, unable to do the good, as St. Paul says, unable to do the good that we want to do, but doing rather the evil that we don't want to do. Do you see then, brothers and sisters, it's here in the heart, in the heart. It's not in the head. It's in the heart that we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Here in the heart, not in the head, is where we work to put to death what is earthly in us. What is that? It's our idolatry, our serving of the passions, our captivity to the passions. As we heard in this morning's Matin service, there's so much contained in those services, in those verses for the weekday services. I'm captive to the idols of my passions. It's as though I'm captive anymore to the disobedience of my self-love. Within me is where the spiritual struggle is engaged. It's not engaged in my head. In my head, all I do is get into arguments. Who cares about the arguments? Who cares who wins the arguments? You win the argument. Did it heal your soul? It's within us where the spiritual struggle is engaged. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, says St. Paul, but against the spiritual rulers of darkness, he says, in the heavenly places. In other words, in the head, in the realm of intellectual belief, in the realm of religious intellectual belief. But at the heart of this struggle is my own will. My own will to stand up against the old idols that before I gave myself to. By this I mean the inner idols of the soul. Gluttony, lust, greed, anger, envy, vanity, and all the rest. And dear brothers and sisters, once the enthusiasm of my first love for Christ is worn off, what do I discover in my heart? What do I discover in myself, dear brothers and sisters? What do I discover? Is it not that my will to lose my life for the sake of Christ and his gospel is very weak, maybe even beyond my competence? And that my desire and that my love for the old idols is very strong. But do not lose heart in this inner struggle of putting the old man in you to death. Both the holy apostles and the holy fathers urge us. For the Lord says, I have overcome the world. As long as there is breath in you, says Saint Isaac of Nineveh, do not surrender your soul to defeat. Even at the moment of your defeat, do not surrender your soul. It says the blind man cried out even louder when they tried to silence him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it says in the Greek, it doesn't say that Jesus stood still. That's how we translate it. It says, and Jesus was standing there as though he were there all the time. And indeed, the Holy Fathers say that to utter the holy name of Jesus makes him present. Standing is the posture of fighting. So do you see? Christ was standing. Christ was fighting for him, even when the blind man could not see him. The Lord commanded the blind man to be brought to him. Dear brothers and sisters, in the beginning, the Lord commanded, and creation, if you will, obeyed. And what happened when it obeyed? It came to be. The Lord's commandment creates life. It does not create death. It creates life. It creates health. It creates beauty. goodness, wholeness, vibrancy, joy, gladness. The blind man obeys, and the Lord asks him, "What is your desire?" You see how the Lord honors our will. And now the blind man's prayer changes. "Lord," he says, "Lord," he says. Such pathos. Everything is contained in that address. "Lord." And then it says simply in the Greek. You know, the English is trying to smooth it out, but in the process it weakens it. "Lord, that I may see." And the Greek is, "that I may look up, that I may see up." Now the Lord gives another command. He says, "Look up," as though to say, "Let there be light." And then he says, "Your faith has saved you." The parallel between "what do you wish me to do" and "your faith has saved you" shows very clearly, to me at least, that the blind man's faith is his desire for the Lord's commands that are life and light to those who obey them. And it says that the blind man followed Jesus, glorifying God. Can you see in this the pattern of the Christian life, this healing of the blind man? The worship of the church moves in a liturgical rhythm centered in the blind man's prayer of the heart. During the week, we struggle against the assaults of the darkness of the world. And during the week, in our daily services and offices, the church gives us prayers to say that give voice to the anguish of the soul. These prayers are penitential in character, like the blind man's cry. And these prayers, if we would make them our own, would train us. They would teach us to pray how we ought, and they would train us how to call on the name of Christ and His Holy Mother. For example, there's so many examples, but I just draw this one example from a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was tone 4. "An unrestrainable urge for evil seizes me through the activity of the enemy and my own wicked habits." This is in the verse for Matins. "Help me, O Theotokos, let the most pernicious one not fall upon me utterly, destroying me of repentance through death." But on Sunday, we come together at Divine Liturgy, the Vespers of Saturday, the Matins of Sunday morning, the Divine Liturgy. We come together and we celebrate, we stand in the victory of the Lord's Sabbath rest. And what do we sing? "We have found the true faith. We have seen the true light. We have received the Heavenly Spirit who has saved us." Can you see how, if I were to incorporate the liturgical rhythm of the church's worship into my daily life, that the weekday services and offices of the church, if I were to make them my own, if I were to make those prayers, if I were to make that rhythm my own, do you see how they would shape my inner life in the way of repentance and teach me to call on the name of the Lord, teach me how to call on the name of the Lord, even perhaps reveal to me the depth of my soul's anguish that I myself may be blind to? I can feel it, but I can't see it, and to articulate it is so tough, so difficult. But the prayers of the church give me the words that I want to say to give voice to my soul's deepest, inmost anguish and learning. So that if I were to make those prayers my own, if that were to become my life, do you see how the church would be teaching me, how it was shaping me, training me how to call on the name of the Lord every day, every hour, and every minute? And do you see how the Divine Liturgy would not just be something I do on Sunday, because that's what you do on Sunday. The Divine Liturgy would become the culmination, the crown, of a week of penitential work. Penitential preparation. A week of the work of repentance. When my soul would receive in the holy mysteries of the church the healing, the life, the salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ's own body and blood. How my wounds are healed by the wounds of his crucified and risen body. I would eat and drink the victory of Christ. I'm eating and drinking as my food and drink is life-creating light, and it would penetrate into my soul through the words of the church's prayers and hymns. Do you see that if I were to fold my life then into the worship of the church, and to fold the worship of the church into my life, into my daily life, do you see how I would be led? I don't have to figure it out. I just do what the church tells me to do. I just do the church. And the church herself leads me into my heart, under her protection, under her guidance, under her teaching. And I would be refashioned. I would be refashioned in the mysteries of the church, which is the very body of Christ. I would be refashioned in Christ himself in the way of repentance, centered on the illumination of the will of my heart and the healing of my soul and body from death, accomplished in the holy Pascha of Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. You understand now why St. Isaac of Nineveh says, do not lose heart in that struggle that you encounter during the week. Don't lose heart. That struggle is engaged on the platform of Christ's victory. St. Peter says, those trials are what are proving the genuineness of your faith. And you see why St. Isaac would say, don't surrender your soul in defeat. Don't surrender your soul to defeat. Don't even surrender it in the moment of defeat. Give your soul to Christ, even in defeat. Call on the name of Christ, as did the blind man, and see that he is standing there, fighting for you, helping you to exercise your own will, by which he heals your will, so that we can do the good that we want to do in the grace and the power of Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.